my pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show, where our mission is to serve you and empower you so you make better financial decisions in your life. One of the biggest expenses many of us face is what we pay for health insurance. And many of us have turned to medical sharing programs. They're like co-ops as an alternative to traditional health insurance. Well, I got a warning for you about how this could save you so much money up front, but burn you so badly later. And later, I've got an update for you on something that's been an ongoing conversation about the problems with thefts of Hyundais and Kias of certain models and years, and has made them ultra, ultra easy to steal. I got new good news for you if you're a Hyundai or Kia owner of one of the vulnerable models. So there's a form of health coverage, it's not health insurance, that has proven to be popular with many Americans over the years, and it is a viable alternative. And I want to talk about this. If you buy health insurance for yourself, for your family, you get it through a company, whatever, health insurance premiums are crazy high. I mean, they're really, really expensive right now because of a continuing series of laws enacted by Congress. Individuals and families buying their own health insurance on the healthcare exchange that's either run by the feds called healthcare.gov or run by a state. Many people who are of moderate income or less have benefited from congressional action that has lowered the effective cost of the premiums to really, really low levels. That's a temporary fix that goes away after two more years. And then we go back potentially to true retail price for an individual or family buying healthcare coverage and for employers buying coverage. It's crazy expensive. And then you've got the deductibles to meet and the co-pays and all the rest. And that's led to a lot of people gravitating towards co-ops offered through religious organizations. Under the separation of church and state, religious organizations can establish their own healthcare co-ops. These are not health insurance. These are risk pools where people are assessed an ongoing monthly premium, if you will, or contribution. The money goes into a pool. And when somebody gets ill, they submit claims to the organization, not like a normal health insurance claim. And the organization decides what portion of that it will cover. These religious co-ops may have rules that prevent payment under certain circumstances based on moral issues or biblical reasons. But the idea is people pay a much, much, much lower cost in premiums, a fraction of normal equivalent of premiums into the risk pool. And for routine things, you're good. Now, perfectly legitimate religious-based co-ops have gone insolvent because within the risk pool, there's been an unfortunate series of people who've ended up with catastrophic illnesses, either from an injury or a cancer or something like that, that has destroyed the finances of the co-op, and then it goes insolvent, and then people's bills go unpaid. And that's the most common thing. But the thing that's gotten a lot of negative coverage for these have involved religious co-ops that have actually turned out to be run by crooks who've stolen the money. There was one that got a lot of bad publicity because the people running it were actually using the money for personal things, buying stuff. One of them actually bought a marijuana farm with the premiums that people were paying in for the health co-op. The money just vanished, buying all kinds of luxury goods for the organizers of it. Another one, the leaders stole $4 million from the people in the co-op and ran off. And these things can happen because there's no state oversight of these until a problem occurs. It's different than traditional health coverage. So what I ask you when you're looking at these is, because they operate kind of in their own orbit, is what do you know about the individuals behind it? In the best situations, they'll be run through a religious organization that you're a member of and you trust, because the premiums are much lower. And know that the greater risk is not these stories that get the big headlines about the embezzlement, the straight-out theft of your hard-earned money you've paid in. The bigger problem is when they go insolvent trying to do the right thing, but the health problems of the members outrun the funds collected. That's why these are not a free lunch. And with traditional health insurance, you have the negotiated rates that lower prices that many times you're not going to have access to in many of these religious co-ops. So what I want you to know is they're not comparing the same thing. When you look at a healthcare plan that you buy that is what's known as compliant, meets the rules for deductibles and coverages of pre-existing conditions and all that, and can negotiate rates, you're dealing with a giant health insurer's bureaucracy. But you will have someone who hopefully is playing by the rules, and if not, there's oversight. When you buy into the co-op, it is all a matter of trust. And you have to have good reasons before you go into one of the co-ops to trust the organizers of it. And one of the uncomfortable questions for you to ask is, what's your underwriting if, in fact, a number of members have a severe medical event like cancer? Krista?
This question's from Therese in Michigan. I spent almost 50 years working in the medical field, yet I just don't understand how GoodRx and other discount drug apps are able to give such significant savings on prescription medications. To answer this, it would help to know the basics on how drug companies value their medications and sell them to the pharmacies, etc. I've tried to research this myself only to give up. It's a head shaker. Do you have the answers?
Oh, so this is a pretty complicated situation. And behind the curtain, what you need to know is that the way prescription drugs are priced is where this really exposes how these apps are able to be of service to you. So when we're talking about brand name drugs, which account for a very small percent of prescriptions, you're not going to find GoodRx and their competitors to be of much applicability or help. Many times what we're comparing is a prescription plan that people have at work through what's known as a pharmacy benefits manager. And these big prescription buying organizations who buy from the manufacturers, and 80 plus percent of prescriptions are generics, is what's happening behind the curtain is there's all kinds of dirty kickbacks going on where wink, wink, nod, nod, they get the prescription manufacturer to sell the drugs through the pharmacy benefits manager at a much higher price, and then give kickbacks that should be illegal to the pharmacy benefits manager. And that's why people with a traditional prescription plan from work can end up paying much higher for a prescription than if they just went in and paid cash or used one of the apps like GoodRx or its competitors. So that's one part of it. Second part, traditional pharmacy chains like CVS and Walgreens have a system for pricing generics that has nothing to do with what they paid for them. That's why you can pay as much as 100 times the cost as CVS or Walgreens. If you just go in without insurance and you buy one, you can end up paying as much as 100 times more for a medicine than you would if you went to a discounter like one of the warehouse clubs or used one of the apps. Because what they do is they price theoretically based on a discount from the brand name that nobody writes or dispenses anymore. So the brand name drug may be Azil, the generic may be pennies, but they're charging it based on a discount from the Zil that the brand name was. So that's the two major reasons why the price gaps are so enormous. If you are a Consumer Reports subscriber and you take a number of different drugs, they have a recent write-up showing, based on the drugs that you are taking, whether you will save money with this pharmacy or this one or this one, and they rate different discount pharmacies and give you what your overall costs will be. If you take an enormous number of meds, there's even subscription services now where you pay a monthly fee, and then in turn, you get really amazing costs on drugs. And in those cases, you might find that the CVS or Walgreens retail price could be 500 times or more the cost of going through a monthly subscription program. And yes, I do pick on CVS and Walgreens all the time.
Jim in Ohio says, we recently purchased a home built in 1976, a two-story with a full basement, about 3,600 square feet. The roof was replaced about 10 years ago, and the furnace and air is about 8 years old. Is this a good candidate for a home warranty, or would it be better to set aside $100 or so per month to self-insure?
Much better idea to self-insure. The roof, first of all, 10 years, unless the roof was improperly installed originally, it's got a long life in front of it. Two, on things like furnace, the AC, I mean, things break over time, right? And the useful life on them, hard to predict. Could be 12 years, could be 15, could be next week. But the math is in your favor to have money that you put into a house maintenance fund instead of insuring, because what you don't know with these home service plans is, when something does go wrong, do they drop you like a hot rock and not take care of it, or do they actually pay for it? We've had so many complaints over the years that the best insurance company I know for repair and replacement in your own home is your own.
Kim in Ohio says, how can I determine the financial and tax impact of marrying my fiance? We're 52 and 53 years old and have been together for 10 years. He's the love of my life, and we don't feel like we have to get married, although we would like to. We have no debt and own our own home. My income is $150K and his is $125K, and we have no dependents.
First of all, great. I mean, wonderful that you found the love of your life. Wonderful that your income is so fantastic. Great that you carry no debt at all. Wow, this is a pretty perfect situation. So now we look at a very dreadful way to look at a very romantic situation. That is taxes. So a lot of times people will make this decision in the short term, married or not, based on the tax code. You can probably figure out for yourself, running simulations with tax software, what your tax bill would be married filing jointly, married filing separately, and then each of you filing single. And you'll see what that does for you tax-wise, if that makes a meaningful difference or not. Second, down the road, Social Security comes in the picture. There is a potential large benefit to you being married versus single with Social Security. But each situation is different. The fact that your incomes are very similar means that the Social Security thing may not be the factor it would be if there was a big imbalance in both of your incomes. But you're at ages that the Social Security thing becomes a factor in making a decision. As I was thinking through, as I'm talking right now, what I would do, because you're asking financial and tax is specifically what you want to know, I would go pay for clock time with a CPA who does tax. I don't think you'd need more than an hour or so of time, maybe even just an hour, to get some clarity on what the current and projected likely future tax implications are being married or each staying single. And then the Social Security thing, you may not find that the CPA who does tax is going to be able to properly advise you. So there's many different software programs that you can run simulations on Social Security and see what it would be for you. There are ones you can pay for. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com is my favorite of those you can pay for. AARP has a free version, and there are others with free versions out there where you can figure out that Social Security side of the equation. And make sure if you do decide to not get married that you've done proper paperwork where in the unfortunate event that one of you is hospitalized, needs someone to be their representative, that you've done the paperwork like durable power of attorneys for healthcare, which are generally state-specific directives, that you have visitation rights to a hospital room in the event your partner is ill, rights that are pretty much automatic if you're married, not if you're living without benefit of marriage. Straight ahead, we're going to talk about Kia and Hyundai. Hyundai is the parent company of Kia. Many of their vehicles are common architecture. And unfortunately, they've had an ugly common problem that has led some auto insurers to dump people's cars for coverage because of theft. I'm going to tell you where we are on that and what Hyundai and Kia are doing to help you resolve the theft issue ahead.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
How'd you like to own a vehicle and get a notice from your insurer that even though you haven't had any claims, no tickets, no accidents, nothing, you get a notice saying your auto insurance is canceled because your car wants to run away from you and hide in the hands of a thief? Well, that became a problem for people that we kept hearing from at our Team Clark Consumer Action Center, for people who were insured with State Farm and Progressive on various Hyundai and Kia models, because social media has a lot of uses, including one not so good. People were posting videos, hey, look how easy this circus act is. I can steal this Hyundai, this Hyundai, this Hyundai, this Kia, this one and the other one like this. There was a flaw in the security systems of 4 million Hyundai Elantras, Sonatas, and Venues, and I don't know which models of Kia. So people were able really easily to just come up and steal these vehicles. Kia cars that have been built since 2011, Hyundai's since 2015, and the Highway Law State Institute said the vehicles were easier to steal because they didn't have what were known as electronic immobilizers to prevent thieves from taking them. And so now newer Hyundais and Kias have this. Older ones, they ain't got it. So now they have come up with a workaround where they will issue you a fob for your vehicle. You got to go get it, but it's free. They'll issue it. According to USA Today, the way this works is with the fob, once you lock the car, it will immobilize the vehicle so that even if somebody breaks in and tries to start it, it's basically a technology that I used to talk about years ago when car thefts were rampant. This is a long time ago. It's called a kill switch. And so it's an electronic kill switch that means that these ultra easy thefts that people have been able to do with Hyundais and Kias, it's over, no more. And so this is really great news. It'll set off an alarm and it will activate the kill switch that will keep the vehicles from being driven. Really great. You just got to get an appointment to get the fob for your Kia or your Hyundai. And again, these are ones made after 2011 and 2015, depending on your model. 2011 Kias are newer than 2011s. Hyundai's newer than 2015 have been impacted. And generally, you'll know this is the issue. And if the key fob will not be applicable to your model, you're not going to believe what their solution is. They're going to give you a free steering wheel lock. So you'll be able to pick those up and put that on your steering wheel every time. What a pain. Do you remember when that was a thing, when car thefts were rampant a long time ago, and you'd go by and you'd see somebody having one of these huge steering wheel locks on their vehicle? The important thing I want you to know is that if you have a Hyundai or Kia of the affected years, you need to pay attention to this, because it's not just an issue of whether your auto insurance has canceled you or not yet. It's also, do you want to deal with the hassle of going out to get in your vehicle one day and it's not there because it's been stolen? No fun at all. Fortunately, I have never had a vehicle stolen from me. I've had 6 break-ins of my vehicle over the years.
Wow. I have not had my vehicle broken into.
And you've never had a vehicle stolen?
No. I did have a bike stolen and I had a lock on it. This is in college. But I had put the lock on the front wheel like an idiot. Oh. And they just took the wheel off and took the bike. So I was left with a wheel. Okay. Jessica in Wisconsin has a question. She says, I have a 2018 car that is still very good. I will buy an electric vehicle next. I want to have my next car paid within the next 4 years. My trade-in value now is $24,000, depreciating at about $6,000 a year. I'd like to trade in now while my current car can give me a chunk towards the new one, get a smaller loan, less tax and interest, etc. My wife is afraid I'll want another car after that, but I would like to just run the wheels off the new one. Would it be better to buy now or wait?
Definitely wait, Jessica. Absolutely wait. Your vehicle, the depreciation it's had in its first 4 or 5 years is much greater per year than it will have now. You're in the cycle of vehicle depreciation where normally it comes down like the tall end of a roller coaster coming down, and then it starts leveling off. And then eventually the value of a vehicle completely flatlines the older it gets. So I would hold on to that vehicle, especially because you want your next vehicle, potentially your last, to be electric. The market for electric vehicles is getting steadily more affordable, but it's not close to where it's going to be. There are dozens of new models of electric vehicles coming out over the course of this year, many more in 24. It's going to continue. There's a great advantage to you waiting because the quality of the vehicles will get better. The price points are going to get much better. And so this is an unnecessarily early purchase for you to ditch a vehicle that's relatively new and go into a brand new one with a payment.
From Sean in Iowa, Clark, I recently changed employers. My past employer had an employee credit union that I used for my checking account, and I would like to open a new checking account for convenience sake. Any recommendations on good checking accounts at banks or credit unions? And we get this a lot, people asking where should they open their accounts?
Yeah, so credit unions now operate employer-based or community-based. So there should be several credit unions that you can be a member of. And if you go to the Find a Credit Union tool at cuna.org, you'll be able to find credit unions that you're eligible for membership of in the area you're with. The time that I would want you to be with a big traditional bank is never. I mean, I just wouldn't. And so there may be in the area where you changed employers, there may be some small local banks that are community owned and operated. And that would be the closest equivalent to a credit union. But in my mind, keep it simple and compare the services. And by the way, you were a member of that credit union with the employer you were with, you don't have to dump the credit union just because you dumped that employer. You can stay in that credit union if they were treating you well and the products were good and the service was good. So you don't have to leave that. Once you're a member, you can stay in basically for life, having worked for that company before.
And Nancy in Iowa says, many times a question will be posted by a listener, answered by Clark, and we never hear the outcome. While a company's name may be questioned from that day forward. On Valentine's Day, Clark answered my question concerning a replacement couch that hadn't been delivered with the bankruptcy of Interior Define and a possible refund from a firm. I took Clark's great advice and then used Twitter to initiate a conversation with a firm. A firm came through with flying colors with a full refund by check in 1 week. They were quick to reply and they were professional the entire time. Thanks, Clark, and thanks the firm for helping me out.
That is such a great story. So we're talking about Pay-in-4 outfit, and they've been very much in the news because they're having to deal with situations with retailers that fail. And in your case, they did exactly what they were supposed to. I'm dealing with another one in my TV work, which involves an appliance store that had their own in-store financing. They have closed. And the financing company is still trying to collect money for an electric stove never delivered. And so these things happen repeatedly in retail where you sign up for credit initiated typically in the store, either in person or online, and then there's a failure to deliver goods or services. If you sit on your rights, you lose them. If a problem occurs, the goods are not delivered, or the service is not provided, you need to dispute. You did. Your rights were preserved. And that's such a great follow-up for other people to know about and be aware of. And I'm sorry you didn't get your furniture, but at least you're not paying for something that you never got. That's the worst, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you so much for listening today. For deals you can actually trust that are going to show up, check out clarkdeals.com. And for money advice you can trust around the clock, clark.com is at your service. Have a great one.